Welcome to this Control Risks podcast. The battle to wrest control of the Iraqi city of Mosul from Islamic State is entering its sixth month. Mosul is the largest city held by IS in either Iraq or Syria, and we have seen numerous pauses in the operations. But the Iraqi security forces are now slowly progressing in the city's west. I'm joined on the line from Dubai by our lead Iraq analyst, Glenn Ransom. Glenn, what factors are contributing to the protracted nature of this operation in Mosul?
Thanks, Casper. The protracted nature of the military operations that are ongoing in Mosul are influenced by a number of factors. I think primarily the scale of the operation is something larger than the Iraqi security forces have had to deal with previously in the anti-Islamic State campaign. And the government also has a limited number of capable military forces that they can use in urban combat against an experienced enemy. In addition to that, early operations in East Mosul faced heavy Islamic State resistance, but that area of the city was retaken in December of last year. In response to the heavy IS resistance, as well as developments on the ground, there have been numerous updates to the strategy being used by the Iraqi security forces, which are backed by the U.S.-led coalition against Islamic State. So that has also led to some of the delays as they regroup and reassess their strategy in the city. Now, in the ongoing operations in West Mosul, there have been delays due to the conflict taking place in denser residential areas, which require the Iraqi security forces to reduce the use of heavy weapons, airstrikes, and armored vehicles. However, the Islamic State has used human shields, and the government is still reliant on some of these heavy weapons. So this has called additional civilian casualties, which have further slowed operations as the government assesses what can be done to limit those casualties as the campaign progresses in the coming months. However, despite the delays and at times slow progress in the operation, we do anticipate that the security forces will push Islamic State ground forces out of Mosul over the coming 3 months.
Okay, so eventual military success seems to be assured. What will the city of Mosul and the surrounding area look like once the main military effort has come to an end?
After main Islamic State ground forces are pushed from the city, the security forces will be focused on mopping up the city of Islamic State sleeper cells and dealing with demining efforts, as the group is likely to have planted a significant improvised explosive devices throughout the city. However, Islamic State will remain a force in Mosul for the coming year at least. The organization has a long history in Mosul and retain supporters in the city. They're also likely to successfully leave behind sleeper cells, which will attempt to disrupt government efforts at providing security and stability for residents in the city. As the group will no longer need to administer the city as it has been doing over the past few years, the group will refocus its resources towards an insurgent campaign and terrorism attacks, targeting a range of security force assets, civilians, government personnel, as well as potentially reconstruction projects to undermine security. Now, the security forces are likely to be somewhat suspicious of local residents in the city, given some of their cooperation with Islamic State. And there will also be retaliatory violence from residents against some of these Islamic State supporters. And these factors will also contribute to insecurity in the city. However, overall, the key issue for the coming year will really be a political agreement between key stakeholders from Mosul, the surrounding areas, as well as the Kurdistan region and the federal government, on, you know, how and who will administer and provide security in the city moving forward.
Could we focus a bit on why this political agreement is so important and what its implications are for broader stability in Iraq?
Well, the military campaign against Islamic State, and particularly the Mosul operation, has required greater cooperation between military forces in northern Iraq and between the federal and Kurdistan region governments. Other political disagreements between these groups have taken a back seat, largely over the past few months, while the military campaign is underway. The removal of this shared Islamic State threat in the coming months will prompt a reemergence of some of these longstanding divisions and disputes, while the legacy of Islamic State's control of areas in northern Iraq has also created new points of tension, which will come to the fore over the coming year. Some of these issues are already emerging, particularly in the territories disputed between the Kurdish and federal governments. We have seen disputes between Kurdish parties and the federal government in Kirkuk province, as well as clashes between Kurdish and Yazidi armed groups in the Sinjar district of Nineveh province.
What about the actual city? Presumably those parties fighting together for the time being to recapture it have a stake in what happens to Mosul in the future.
Well, Mosul City itself is not disputed. All of the main actors operating in northern Iraq have differing visions of Mosul's post-Islamic State future and will want to promote their interests there moving forward as the country rebuilds. We're likely to see an escalation of political rhetoric over key points of disputes, including Kurdish independence, oil exports, provincial autonomy, and the disputed territories in the coming months after the Mosul operation concludes and as September's provincial elections approach. Now, these disputes will likely play out in parliament as well as during election campaigning, which will witness heightened political rhetoric. However, violence between rival parties and armed groups will be a persistent concern, particularly in the disputed territories.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Glenn Ransom, the Control Risks lead analyst for Iraq, thank you very much, and thanks to you for listening to this Control Risks podcast.